The Around the NFL Podcast burns the midnight oil.
Okay. Welcome back to another edition of the Around the NFL Podcast. My name is Dan Hansis, and I'm joined by a room filled with heroes, Mark Sessler, Chris Wessling, and Greg Rosenthal. What's up, boys?
Hey, Dan.
Welcome back. Here we are again. And again, and again, and again. Monday's episode.
One time after the next. I mean, we planned this show in about 6 minutes.
Oh, stop.
Oh, no. It was 12.
Maybe 12.
Did you guys notice the new additions to the NFL media grounds? Some of the aesthetic changes happening on this campus.
Yes.
Big changes.
Lots of...
Big changes.
Lots of murals. Lots of billboard type pictures.
Who do you think of all the people on the wall now that they invested, who knows, they probably paid a company $10,000 to do this?
Way more than that.
I don't know. Like, I work in the custom design
I'm just saying that's
on walls business.
This has been like a multi-day, many people working on it.
There's 10,000?
There's cranes and like 10, 15 people, you know, putting things up. You
10
know.
Or 15 people?
I don't know.
It was like three people in those days. I'm just saying
multi-days,
$10,000 to paint a few things on a wall, wouldn't it be a crazy price.
Triple figures.
Yeah.
Okay. $100,000. All right.
Well, they know who the client is.
All right. Let's get past that. Who on the wall do you think most likely will they have to scrub off the wall due to getting cut by the team they're on or some type of off the field incident? Mark, I'll start with you.
Maybe Dan Helley from NFL Network.
Oh,
wow.
No.
I did think that was a mistake. Well, part of that.
Well, that's not how I'd frame it, Greg.
There's a picture. I think it works in Dan and Willie McGinnis' favor. There's a big picture up of Dan Helley and Willie McGinnis. Monster picture as you're going through one of the hallways. That's leverage right there. When their next contracts are coming up, it's like Willie's agent just has to be like, what, you're going to get rid of my guy? He's on the wall.
So it wasn't a mistake to put them up in terms of who they selected.
No, great choices.
There were some concerns that you thought maybe someone in this room and not the three of us should have gotten more attention in that space.
there was talk about that? Where was talk about that?
We went into is that NFL Network's Greg Rosenthal?
Here's my answer, though. I think it might be Josh Norman. I was looking at all those because a lot of them are like, unless something really crazy happens, these are like locked in starting quarterbacks.
We should let the audience know. There's
right.
Cam Newton.
These are people painted on murals outside of our building.
There's
for $10,000.
Take a picture. Cam Newton.
J.J.
Watt. Von Miller.
Gronk, Aaron Rodgers.
These type of players.
Joey Bosa in the hallway.
That's weird.
Dak Prescott.
And then Josh Freeman. Is Dak on the wall?
Josh
upstairs.
Norman. Freeman.
Josh Norman in the mix there, and it's like, oh, we'll see about that. I don't know if that was a great contract with Washington.
I think he's the right answer.
Well, there's a reason for that.
Right.
TV people made the decision, and TV people love when Josh Norman opens his mouth.
Yeah. The other adjustment that was made on this campus was they ripped out the couches in the lobby, and they have, over the weekend, installed – I kid you not, they installed stadium seating in front of a big TV where it's actual, like, the seats you would see when you, like, went to MetLife Stadium or any NFL stadium. Yep. And you sit, but there's no other options to sit. They took out the couches and replaced them with a row of seven seats. And now you get the sight. And, Mark, you and I, and maybe all of us at some point before we started working here, you sit on that couch waiting for someone to come to bring you in for a job interview. When you see people waiting to be brought in now, they're sitting in these stadium seats, and it's a little silly looking.
Going to take some time to get used
their
to
suits.
It. Yeah.
Looks like they're being inculcated by Scott Hansen.
And it like we brought up on our road trip podcast, Mark, it looks funny. It's like when adults are in the back seat of a car. It's just like
exactly
a funny looking.
It's going to take time to get. There was also, at one point, a huge collage celebrating the 10th year, I believe, of NFL Network, which had little faces of everyone that
was in the lobby.
Worked so hard here. Well, they ripped that right down. That's gone.
So that's what's going on around the campus. And I'll take a photo of the mural, and you guys can, listeners can chime in. Who you think will come down, be scrubbed off that wall first, or either a move that takes them away from the team that they're portrayed with in the image, or an off the field incident. Hey,
Gronk's a little under the radar. Mm. That's a long shot there.
Whether or an off the field incident,
whether it's injuries or off the field incident, bringing some sort of shame to the NFL family. Injury, I guess, would be a
breaking
better
news.
Great Patriots fan. All right, today's show is sponsored, of course, by Mr. Flames Economics Class in The Hague, the Netherlands. Mr. F. And we will now talk about, well, not now, a little later in today's show, we'll talk about collateral damage and collateral beneficiaries or benefits for players. So if you got banged by the events of the past couple of weeks, if you got helped out by the events of the last couple of weeks, those events mostly tied to free agency, who really came out of this better, who came off a little worse, Mark?
We'll get to it.
We'll get to it. And I'm excited about that. Greg, you wrote an accompanying banger that will be going up on the site at some point.
Well, collateral damage, that one is up, yes. I mean, these guys, they weren't free agents. They were just hanging out at home. They're watching the TV, and suddenly, shrapnel hitting them. They're getting affected.
That hurts. So we'll talk about that. And we also got some news to get to. And let me check in behind the glass with Sid. Sid, how was Magic Mountain? How was Six Flags this weekend?
You know, it was great. Yikes. I will say, if I had known what going to Six Flags was going to do to my mentions, I would have just stayed home. Wow. There were all sorts of horrifying pictures of Mickey Mouse that were sent my way. I may never sleep again, but, you know. I got to ride a few roller coasters, so.
Hey, Sid, you shouldn't have done that.
Don't like it. Don't.
Wait, Sydney, before the show, when I asked you, you utterly buried Six Flags. So why now is the, a little bit of a less of a heat-seeking review? Or should I not have just said that?
Yeah, no, I've been getting, I think people don't believe me.
Mark,
when I just, like, put Disneyland up on a pedestal, so I was trying to, like,
you put the Disney on a pedestal.
Yeah.
Mark, you've cheated on girlfriends before. Like, when, what? After the fact, you feel, feel like, why did I just do that? I feel dirty. I feel ugly.
Well, not confirmed. I haven't had a girlfriend in, like, the ages and ages.
Well, I'm talking about prior to
even
marriage.
Not in any case would I sit there and say, okay. Yes, that's an easy, go to Greg with that one.
Hey, Sid, you'll be sorry.
Right. News? Want to do some news?
Okay.
What happened to the analogy?
What?
Mark cheating on his girlfriend.
Oh, well, obviously Mark wants us to get away from that topic.
There's nothing there. There's no evidence. There's nowhere
there's
for
no
you
evidence.
To sit around.
Other than your panicked, stammer.
There's maybe the 16-year-old me, but not the adult version of me.
It's a great non-denial.
Maybe the 34-year-old version of me, but.
Not true. Nice try by you.
Let's do some news.
Someone needs to do some explaining. What's going on?
I implore you, everyone, to check out the trailer to, speaking of Rob Gronkowski and things that could get him taken off the wall here at NFL Network headquarters. He has a cameo in a new movie, and I wrote about it on the End Around. It's one of those, it's a bad movie when a name brand like Rob Gronkowski, he agrees to do a low-budget movie and has one line in the movie, and they put him front and center on the poster and put his name above the line. The name of the movie is You Can't Have It, and even the name is terrible. Watch the trailer. I have it embedded on my story on the article. But that's Gronk's entire dialogue in the movie. First build, front and center on the movie poster. Gronk doesn't say no to anything.
What is it, like a rom-com, or is it?
It's about, I don't know, I'll just read the tagline. Drinks, sex, murder. All before last call. You can't have it. A little water. All right, let's do some news. And let's stay with the New England Patriots. And, yep, it happened. Case cracked. Tom Brady's missing Super Bowl 51 jersey was found. Oh, my goodness. The NFL on Monday released a statement confirming that a joint operation between the league, the Patriots security team, and the FBI God damn it, the FBI, Mark, recovered quarterback Tom Brady's stolen Super Bowl 51 jersey. Also, apparently we didn't know, probably because the old Zeuser didn't get that on video, the stolen Super Bowl 49 jersey, that was also gone and recovered. Mm. And according to Rap Sheet, the man who allegedly took the jerseys is Mauricio Ortega, a former executive with Mexican newspaper company Diario La Prensa. In a statement, La Prensa announced Ortega resigned from the company last week.
Not a good look for
case
him.
Case closed.
Hmm.
Woo!
Essentially a one-man crime ring.
Yeah, which is weird because he stole the jersey 2 years ago. And he still had it in his possession. So it's not like he was able to move it and have a big score and then say, oh, let me get another one. So he had both in his possession, so got nothing out of it, probably a lot of stress and anxiety, and got banged on it.
Also, I'm quite impressed because we're talking about dive bombing into two totally different NFL venues. Who knows how much experience he has in either locker room and pulling off a master heist with hundreds of cameras and other recording devices all over the place and eyes everywhere.
Wait,
how do you get away with this?
Didn't we also see that he stole Von Miller's helmet, too?
Look at this guy. This guy's flying.
Potentially, yeah. He was the director of the newspaper. I got to think his long game was he was going to sell this in, you know, many years from now.
And move to Zia Watanayo?
In another, I mean, it was in another country.
I don't know. Yeah, I mean, he was going to have to sell. He was waiting. He was waiting for it to die down a little and sell him in 10 years and retire on it.
Whew. You got some light fingers, Everett.
All right.
You could sell that stuff on the dark web.
Yeah.
As someone that was so involved in this, does it give you closure, Dan?
Well, it's funny you should bring that up, Greg, because as the resident ATN media insider,
Zeuser in the morning.
Obviously, I played a small role in a international crime conspiracy. I shot the video that led to the breaking news, and I don't want to do a ton of media on this. I don't want to do a lot. So I figured, why don't I just knock out my availability on the show today?
Has there been any requests for you to do any
you don't,
media?
Just let me do it all today. Because that way, I got a wife, I got kids, I got other work to do. So what I wanted to do, and I wanted to say, well, who do I respect in the media? It's like when someone has like a big sit down, oh, give me Diane Sawyer. Well, I couldn't get Diane Sawyer. But who I could get was CBS Sports.com senior writer Will Brinson. He will represent all of the media. So again, with peace and love, no more requests. I have Will on the line. Will, you here?
Yeah, Dan, I thank you very much for making me your Diane Sawyer. That's very kind.
Wow.
So we got Will, senior writer at CBS Sports. He will serve as the media contingent asking me about this. Last time I talk about it, Will, fire away.
This is like a pool report, and Will is playing the role of Peter King at the Super Bowl.
Absolutely. In fact, I'm probably wearing a similar outfit right now, so that works.
If you combine Peter King and Diane Sawyer and create this a hideous monster, that's Will.
Well, look, Dan, we'll get right to it. First of all, you know, the simple question is, how does it feel to know that you're the sole person responsible for blowing the lid of a vast international conspiracy to steal millions of dollars worth of merchandise from multiple Super Bowl MVPs?
You know what? The job of any journalist is to get your hands dirty when you have to. And if you see injustice, to seek it out and expose it. And you made a good Shawshank Redemption, Wes, minutes ago. Same thing. Andy Dufresne, he gets the warden's incriminating documents. He puts it in the mail. You let the media and the authorities handle the rest. That's what I did. I just got the video. I said something was going on here. Blast it out, and away we go. We're flying. So it feels good. Not all superheroes wear capes.
Dan, follow up to that. At what point did you really understand that you'd used your natural media insider instincts to sniff out the biggest and most viral NFL moment of the 2017 year?
I didn't do very well with that, in fact. I sent out the tweet with the video, and I even labeled it incorrectly. I labeled it as Robert Kraft hands out victory cigars. I didn't realize what I was sitting on. It wasn't until I got back to the press box and I told the social media man here, Bryce Gustafson, who's very good at what he does, what I had.
Gustafson.
Okay, yeah. Whatever.
Goose.
Goose.
There you go. I told Goose this. He was like, "Whoa, that's really good." And that's I only then realized what I had really procured. Anything else?
One more thing, but I would add to that. I was actually in the press box when you tweeted it out. And noticed, it's like, wow, victory cigars. We got halfway through, Brady was yelling about, like, all right, Dan really has no idea what he has on his hand.
The insider didn't know anything of what he, you've just incriminated yourself. Right. Are you a little worried about this?
Pipe down, Greg. don't be jealous. NFL.com's Greg Rosenthal. Go ahead.
Thank you very much. Here with NFL.com's Greg Rosenthal.
Sorry, Will.
NFL.com.
I should mention that I came up in the news on some articles today when this news broke, and I was referenced as NFL Network Stan Hansen a couple times. I don't know where that sits with you, Greg, but
I like it.
All right, last question, Will.
Yeah, it's fortunate that I know the length of y'all's drops, by the way. there also is some chatter, Dan, out there that the success of End Around and your NFL Media Insider success could lead to a Zeuser in the Morning spinoff podcast, a vanity project, if you will. Can you confirm or deny that something like that is in the works?
Well, my contract's coming up, and I'm going to sit down with the people, and we're going to hammer something out. I love being here. I love working with these guys, but you just never know. Now that I'm on the radar like this, it just is what
God forbid it all comes to an end.
Will, thank you very much. And that's it. That's it. That's it. Now, Will, I want Will to stay on the line if you can, Mr. Brinson.
Yeah, I got nothing else to do.
All right, cool.
Can I ask you one follow-up question?
This will be – okay, last question.
I might have one, too.
Yeah. Listen, so you've essentially undone a Mexican crime ring, and these people no longer have jobs. Are you concerned at all that they might – you know, cross the border, back into the States, and not just end your career as a so-called insider, but just end you.
So like some type of Mexican mafia scenario?
I mean, you know, your name's out there as the guy that started all this. It sounds like a perfect scenario to take you out.
I didn't think of that until you just said that. I don't like the thought.
I hope I didn't plant the idea in their head either, but it seems like a very logical counterpunch to the embarrassment you've caused many criminals.
I'm a little nervous about that. I got to be honest.
Streets have been talking a little bit about that. You know, you made a big name with this scoop.
What a splash.
Weeks ago on this podcast, we kind of were like, all right, well, you know, insider, where's kind of the follow-up scoops? And you're like, oh, yeah, we got some scoops coming. Are you a little worried this far out, you know, since this big break? It's been pretty quiet on the insider breaking news front.
I'll just say two things. First of all, I know what it's like to be Rap Sheet now. It's a stressful life. You have to stay on the leaderboard. Second of all, and I can't discuss it on the show, but I think you guys will all agree that I got some big scoopage, internal scoopage at the Combine that I couldn't share here. Some of my scoopage isn't for public. It's just, you know, talking to people. I got stuff going on. Is that not a fair answer?
That's a stretch.
Okay.
You did get an internal scoop. I'll give you that.
Okay.
Talk about it.
Good podcasting. All right, Will, we're going to do some more news. Do you want to hang around?
Yeah, no, literally, I have nothing to do.
All right, let's move on and talk about Bucks GM, the Bucks GM, Jason Light. It's not licked, right?
It is
Light.
Jason Light.
Yeah, turn the light off and on.
Jason Light is speaking out on Roberto Aguayo. This after the Bucks signed Nick Folk as training camp competition. And in an interview with the Tampa Bay Times, Light was very, very open. Quote, read the stats. He wasn't very good last year. He wants to improve and he's going to work at it. And we still have confidence in him, but you're always trying to get better. Will, you know this, like everybody else, he got drafted in the second round. The Bucks traded up to get a kicker in round two, unheard of. And then he was 22 of 31 last year. What does the GM's statement tell you?
That they're going to move on if they have to move on. Look, I mean, people move on from first-round quarterbacks all the time in the NFL these days because of the lowered salary scale. Now, don't get me wrong, a second-round kicker is absolutely the worst drafting mistake we've seen, maybe since the Vikings forgot to make that pick a while ago.
That was awesome.
But I think that you know, the Wes and I were talking about this the other day, but like the worst thing on Twitter, the worst thing you can do is not be willing to admit a mistake and go fix it. So, I mean, the absolute worst thing he could do is just say, no, we invested a second round pick in Aguayo. We're going to keep rolling this Shawshank redemption machine out there and just let him keep kicking and missing left and right. You've got to bring in some competition, make him earn his stripes.
Next to the quarterback, a head coach's confidence wavers with the kicker as much as any position in the league. If you're a running back and a wide receiver in a slump, they keep you in there. If you're a kicker, they got to get rid of you because you have to be able to trust him with the game on the line. That's why you don't spend second-round picks on kickers.
I also – there was another – I don't know if it was the same interview, but I saw it over the weekend where Light had this to say about Aguayo. He's a rookie, 21 years old. He had to learn that he's not doing this for fun anymore. Mark, that almost speaks to like some issues behind the scenes, what they thought about maybe his work habits or his effort. Ooh. That's how I read that. Do you feel the same way?
I mean, I think if you're going to invest in a second-round pick, you should know pretty securely what he's going to be like on that front coming into the NFL. Now, I mean, we all follow teams that have done exactly the opposite with first-round picks.
I mean, it was the most bizarre pick ever, partly because he wasn't that great a kicker in college. Like, he missed half his kicks between 40 and 49 in his last year in college. It's like, I don't know, the whole thing
concerning.
Bizarre.
And by the way, Nick Folk, as I know as a Jets fan, he's a good kicker. He's always been a good, steady kicker. So I'd be surprised if Folk isn't the kicker week one in Tampa. We'll see. Moving on. Oh, this is some bad news for Doug Whaley. EJ Manuel's time in Buffalo has come to a close. The former Bills quarterback signed a deal with the Oakland Raiders on Monday, the team announced. Terms of the deal's not disclosed.
Please don't do it to me. Please don't do it to me. I love this guy, EJ Manuel. I believe in him. Just don't do it.
Well, I mean, that was Doug Whaley on the You're the GM segment. Not actually Doug Whaley, but what might have been happening behind the scenes. Will, your thoughts on this move and Doug Whaley finally saying goodbye to EJ Manuel.
Yeah, we were talking about admitting mistakes. He should have admitted it years ago. EJ Manuel was somehow the first quarterback. The 2013 draft class, in terms of quarterbacks, I mean, Mike Glennon is the shining star left in this group of guys. I mean, EJ Manuel, Geno Smith.
All-time bad draft class for quarterbacks.
Yeah, and the weirdest thing I thought about the whole EJ Manuel experiment was that, so when he was actually drafted, Buddy Nix was the GM in Buffalo. And Doug Whaley
Buddy
had been promoted.
Nix.
And Doug Whaley hadn't actually been promoted. And then after that, Doug Whaley got promoted to GM, and people asked him, they're like, hey, you know, were you the guy who pulled the trigger on EJ Manuel, or was that Buddy? And he could have pawned him off, and he took ownership of it. That tells me everything I need to know about Doug Whaley's management and personnel skills, the fact that he was, like, willing to own up to EJ Manuel when clearly there was a major problem with him coming out of college and as soon as he got in the pros.
I would just say that had we known when that pick was made, it was such a surprising pick. It was a total reach for a quarterback in that draft at that point. If we known that Whaley and EJ Manuel were going to survive in Buffalo for 4+ years, you would have thought a lot of critics would be wrong. There would have been something good that came out of it. Will couldn't be more right. This divorce should have come 2+ years ago.
Right. He didn't admit any mistake. He just had people come into the organization that, you know, took his legs out from under him, and he didn't get to make the decisions anymore. As recently as midway through last season, there's still these leaks coming from the Bills that are like, well, we still kind of want to see EJ Manuel. Like, we wanted to bench Tyrod Taylor midway through last season. Like, those leaks came, remember when they were in London? When you were in London back in 2015,
well,
right?
The Greg Roman at the time was the one that a lot of people thought liked EJ Manuel. There were issues with whoever else was a quarterback, but what a mysterious career for EJ Manuel so far.
Am I the only one who thinks the Raiders should be aiming a lot higher for their Derek Carr insurance after what happened in the playoffs?
It's a good point.
I would take Matt McGloin on a re-signed contract over EJ Manuel.
I would take plenty of people.
Colin Kaepernick,
Ryan Fitzpatrick.
There must be something in EJ Manuel that these talent evaluators see that.
I mean, he wasn't a bad guy.
Yeah, he's a leader. Like, people liked him coming out of college. He was Mike Mayock and Greg Cosell. He was all their number one quarterback in that class, too. Like, he had some skills.
Yeah. Moving on, a report from the Observer reporter, Ben Roethlisberger leaning toward a return to the Steelers. The exact quote, actually, I'm leaning towards it.
That's the entire article.
That's the article. Roethlisberger in January, after the Steelers were knocked out of the playoffs by New England, said on his radio show that he had to think about whether or not he was going to play in 2017. I will give credit to this room, but also the football cognoscenti, for seeing through this, that Big Ben was never going away. Will, calm down, Big Ben. Nobody believed you anyway.
Yeah, I mean, breaking news, scoopage here. I am also leaning towards writing about football in 2017. And I mean, unless I get, I mean, I could get fired, I guess, for like a morals clause.
Breaking news, Will Brinson will continue his career as a sports writer.
Well, as you said, barring disaster.
Right, again, or a morals clause. That's entirely possible.
Morals clause.
I thought actually the most interesting thing, and I don't know Dale Lally at all, but did you guys, I'm sure at least one of you clicked on this Observer Reporter thing.
Yeah.
Did you notice his bio in the top right corner? It's all I could think about when I was.
Let me read it.
Go ahead. After hobnobbing around the NFL in the press boxes and sidelines, sports reporter Dale Lally will let you know the insider scoop. Dale can also be heard on the Steelers Radio Network pregame show prior to every game. Follow him on Twitter at DLollyLore.
Hobnobbing.
All right.
Yes, hobnobbing. Who's he hobnobbing about? You're not doing work if you're hobnobbing.
Hobnobber!
Lolly's got the insider scoop.
So if you, based on this profile, if you do X amount of hobnobbing at any period, you're at that point, you can go into the bunker and just be an insider. I guess so.
You would know.
I thought you had to stay in the streets. Well, I'm all over the place. I'm the president.
You've carved your own path there.
Yeah, everybody goes their own route. The Lolly Man, the Lollipop, went his own route.
Well, I like that Ben Roethlisberger is still not committing. He said he's leaning toward it. Like, at what point is he getting pissed or depressed, or just is it making him crazy that literally no one believes him when he's threatening retirement? Like, his general manager has spoken about it publicly. The owner has said that they all expect him back. And yet they didn't do anything to address the issue in free agency. And yet he's still out there kind of being like, well, you know, I'm leaning towards it. Maybe not. Like, no one believes this guy. I would go crazy if I were him. Maybe he should just retire just to stick it to people.
I would be fine with that.
That would
Please
be weird.
Do, sir.
That would be a weird move to retire but to like, stick it to people.
That's a strange thing that literally no one believes him.
I'm going to retire out of spite.
We all got lollied there. And finally in the news, oh, man, this is a big one.
Trope alert. Trope alert. Trope alert. Trope alert. Trope alert.
Blake Bortles. Oh, the trope alert machine's going to blow. Blake Bortles confident about his offseason progress. This, Bortles told Jacksonville.com, the first week, it wasn't pretty. It didn't look good. Part of trying to change things is it won't be great right away. But we were able to hash it out. Mark, they hashed it out. No more mechanics issues. No more crummy interception rate. Blake Bortles is back because of his work with quarterbacking gurus Tom House and Adam Dudu. You buying?
No, it's a trope because it's completely ponderously predictable that we'd be getting this story right now. Thankfully for me, I won't be touching this issue all off season. We have our no write lists, things we would never be asked to write about. Mine includes Blake Bortles and the NFC.
Has this ever been the entire NFC?
Done with them.
Just one question on that. I'll respect that, but I don't have any power within the organization. Have the middle managers signed off on this, the people that would hypothetically assign to you various stories?
Been fine so far.
Mark has basically taken napalm to our instant messenger client lately and told the bosses that he's doing whatever he wants to do.
It's going very well.
This is some of the same advice that Mark has given me in my dealings with my wife.
Just, if you wanted to bring that up, Greg, that's fine. I mean, I don't know why you needed to do that. Neither does Will, I would imagine.
There is a little bit of a
connective tissue,
Peter,
right?
From Office Space vibe with you right now, Mark, where you're just seeing how far you could push middle management before they act. And maybe you'll just, just promotion will come out of
it. I think that's exactly what could happen.
Do you ever do this, Will, at CBS? Just start going rogue, push your boundaries, start telling Prisco to shove it.
Got a fish at your cubicle?
I tried it. And if you, the problem is if you go rogue on Prisco, is that he'll rat you out. He's just a narc, you know. Like he's just a very tan narc, and he will go to the bosses and tell them exactly what you said. And I'm really more of a stay in my lane and grumble quietly to the side kind of guy.
How about as Greg is starting to do, going totally rogue on the home front? I know you have, you know, a young child, you've got a caring wife, but just going utterly rogue, you know, inside your house.
Yeah, no, that's my move, Mark. Usually I'll take all the TVs up to my office and just hang out up in my office and not do any work. I'll plan trips to other cities to see concerts with friends and tell my wife the week before we leave. So that, you know, I mean, those sort of things, just really, you know, just power plays, if you will.
You're owning that space. I like it.
Yeah.
Will Brinson, at Will Brinson on Twitter. Make sure you follow him. You can read his stuff at CBSSports.com, where, again, he's the senior NFL writer. That is a good title. I got to get one of them. I got to get a senior.
Stay in your lane, Dan.
I will. Right. Back up. And, again, Will, thank you for serving as the conduit for all the global media. And I say this one more time, no requests. If you want any of my thoughts on the Tom Brady jersey saga, see earlier in this podcast. Will,
yeah,
thank you.
I will. No problem. I will type up my pool report and have it to you guys. I'll have it along with the TBS report tomorrow morning.
Thank you.
Very, very nice. Will Brinson, everybody. And that's what's happening in the news. All right, guys. Very nice of Will to stop by and do that service, Mark.
Did a great job. I thought he asked some, you know, the three top questions right out of the gate, like a true journo.
And you're right. You're right, Greg. It's time for now. I gotta break something new. Globally.
Streets are talking.
You know what? At least they're talking. I'll take that. At least people are talking. Oh, what's Hansis coming up with next? It was like Michael Jackson after Thriller. What's coming next?
I feel like I've been, you know, if I was against this whole movement, I've been more accepting of it on this show. But Greg seems to constantly be coming at you a little
bit. I think you could read between the lines on that.
Really?
Yeah, it's coming on Greg's corner.
Is Greg an insider?
Wouldn't it be Ian's corner?
No, but like, you know, some of the network references I've gotten. And
do we think Ian feels threatened by this? I would imagine not highly threatened. Not yet.
I think in terms of exposure, Greg has the most exposure on the network and things of that nature. So
not
when
anymore.
A story like this comes around, all of a sudden Greg's like, me don't like you this much.
Speaking of which.
A mentally challenged Yoda.
Well, I'll be on the network Tuesday.
Oh, yes.
Up to the minute live with a live hit. The show has now moved. Dan, do you know what it is?
No, I have no idea.
We're taping it during the show, so you should be able to figure it out.
Cool.
It's like 5:45.
5 p.m. Eastern.
Let me alone. Why are you coming after me?
2 p.m. Pacific.
All right, that's great.
Our hit will be somewhere in the middle of that, I think. But, yeah, I think we're on a few times this week, but definitely Tuesday.
The producer actually approached our cubicle today and said, hey, we're moving you up in the show a little bit. I feel like that's a good sign.
Well, last time out, Mr. F got a mention on NFL Network. That was, you know.
That was excellent.
Mr. F.
People starting
great
to pay
attention. Great job by Mr. Patrick Claibon with the Mr. F ref in a big spot. All right, now let's talk about, oh, yeah, it's collateral damage time. Greg, this is a two-part column. And why don't we talk about it? We'll go around the horn here a couple times, and you can go – collateral benefits for a player, any player, or collateral damage for any player. And why don't we start, Greg, since you wrote the piece on NFL.com.
I'll start with the Patriots in general, because I think the Patriots, what they do that is unique is they do a good job of planning for this year's team and ahead at the same time. So three of their moves this year, I think, spelled some bad news for players on their roster coming up. Julian Edelman, his contract runs out at the end of 2017. Oh, I'd like to have an extension. Uh-oh, a little bit of less leverage. Certainly fewer targets after getting Brandon Cooks. I mean, I can't see Julian Edelman having the same numbers, and he's been one of the most underpaid players in the NFL, I would say, over the last few years, signing a four-year, $17 million contract. He's probably never going to get a big-time NFL contract, and he probably won't get in New England now. I think he'll have to take a below-market deal if he stays because of Brandon Cooks. And then similar to that, James White is the hero of the Super Bowl, and they bring in Rex Burkhead, who does some similar things, maybe even a little better than James White. And Malcolm Butler is a Super you know, Super Bowl hero, and they bring in Stephon Gilmore, which is going to – I don't know if he leaves New England. I still think Malcolm Butler might end up staying, but he's going to have less leverage. He's not going to get the contract necessarily that he wants because the guy's coming in.
The one – and I'm not questioning any of these moves. Some of the loyalty issues I could factor in, but they, listen, they know what they're doing. My one concern I would have, since you brought up Malcolm Butler, what – Logan Ryan's gone. Stephon Gilmore has had an up and down NFL career. He was actually really bad the first half of last year and then came on. What if you get like a crappy Stephon Gilmore and then Logan Ryan's gone and you let Malcolm Butler go to New Orleans? They could jack up their secondary potentially. So they're going to do some collateral damage to themselves possibly.
It's possible, which is one reason why I wouldn't be surprised if they keep Malcolm Butler.
It makes sense.
And who knows? If they trade him, maybe they use the first round pick, assuming they get one, that they get back. Maybe they use it on a cornerback and kind of start all over there. I think Deion Lewis too. I mean, he's got to be watching this thinking like, how do I fit in this backfield where everyone's a receiving back?
That dark timeline that you laid out,
yeah.
Dan, 12-4.
Yeah, it's, I mean.
I would say Deion Lewis, if anything, could be on his couch watching Super Bowl 52, the Patriots taking another one. This will work out fine for
New England. This every year. I'll lay out a dark scenario for the Patriots, and it never takes, so. This is my new one right now is the secondary, I guess. But there's some logic to it, right? That it could backfire.
It absolutely could happen, and then the offense scores 38 points a game.
It's fair.
13-3.
Wes, give us some collateral.
Well, are we going for benefits here?
Whatever you
Either
want.
Either one. Either way.
Damage or benefit.
It's a weird year because the signings are so spread out, and so many of the big names, Tony Romo, Jimmy Garoppolo, Adrian Peterson, Jamal Charles, Jay Cutler, like Garrett Blunt even, are still out there. So if the Packers or the Raiders had signed like Peterson to go with Martellus Bennett mm-hmm. or Peterson to go with Jarek Cook and Cordarrelle Patterson, I could see those being winners. But I'll take Jameis Winston just because I thought he really needed that second receiver behind Mike Evans, and he got the best deep threat in football in DeSean Jackson. I know Greg was really excited about the Bucs last year, and I wasn't ready to go there with Jameis, but I could see this being the breakout year.
Offensively, like I agree because I think they're going to get better at running back too. I don't know who it's going to be, whether it's going to be a free agent or a draft pick or both, and Doug Martin actually does something.
Well, just the simple fact for Winston.
They can't get worse.
That Charles Sims is healthy and in 2015 was one of the best receiving backs in football, and he didn't really have his services last year at all.
I like teams that understand that it's not just signing a name at the top of the list, the guy that costs the most, but it's about fit inside your offense. And DeSean Jackson was the perfect guy to match with Mike Evans. And by all accounts, Jameis Winston had been lobbying for DeSean Jackson for weeks and weeks. And so they showed his quarterback, too, we're going to get you what you need.
How about Nick Carter, the blonde one from the Backstreet Boys, publicly pushing for a DeSean Jackson signing with Tampa? Does that play a role at all?
That was a huge factor.
Yeah.
Maybe out here we don't notice that, but down in Tampa, that is an utterly massive factor.
Wes, name one Backstreet Boys song.
Backstreet's Back, All Right.
That's correct.
That's a song.
That is a song.
That's correct.
It's insane that that's the name of a song by Backstreet Boys. Sydney, we can't play the song.
I can't believe I knew that.
Yeah, it was a good job.
On command.
We can't play the song, but let's play a song that sounds like Backstreet's Back.
A peppermint bubblegum sundae. She's high like that.
Okay, that's kind of what it sounds like. All right, Mark, your turn. Get collateral.
I'm going to go collateral damaged. This person was damaged so far by the free agency process.
Like psychologically or?
Well, I don't know. I think you'd have to ask. It's Colin Kaepernick, and this is a guy that is, you know, years from being a Super Bowl starter. I know he's not the quarterback that he was, and his potential is bottomed out, but the 49ers quickly went out and signed Brian Hoyer and Matt Barkley as better options than Colin Kaepernick, which a couple years ago would have been like a stunning move. At this point, I think the reason I look at Kaepernick as damaged is because of what happened last season, all the sitting during the national anthem business. You thought, oh, you know, people will get over that, and the country's changing and evolving, and by the time the off season hits, Kaepernick's market wouldn't be affected by something like that. Except you look at who the NFL's owned by for the most part, and it's super billionaire typically, you know,
conservative,
conservative, hyper-patriotic, don't want to affect their alliances in business or their marketability of their team, and they don't want to bring in that kind of drama. And this is a guy who, over the weekend, raised over $1 million to fly an airplane to Somalia, which is in deep famine, to bring water and supplies. It's one person doing something he cares about. Colin Kaepernick, in many ways, has done nothing but this kind of stuff for the last year or two. He is becoming, in his own way, politically aware. He cares about issues. He's doing something positive to try to help, and he cannot get a job. He's viewed as, it seems to me, completely toxic to most of these teams.
I had someone texted me today who is not a big football fan but is socially aware and wanted to know what is the real answer for why Colin Kaepernick isn't getting interest. And it's a very complex issue. First of all, we're talking about a guy who lost his job to Blaine Gabbert and then couldn't regain it last summer. That matters in the NFL when you're a quarterback who can't beat out Blaine Gabbert. He lacks field vision. He lacks accuracy. He lacks touch. These are issues he has. So 25 out of 32 teams probably aren't even going to sign him because they don't want him as a starter. And at that point, are you going to sign him to compete? It's the same thing with Tebow. Do you want the circus in town?
Right. And one anonymous AFC general manager spoke with Bleacher Report's Mike Freeman. And here's, in that vein, what the GM had to say. The problem is three things are happening with him. First, some teams genuinely believe that he can't play. They think he's shot. That's what Wes is getting at. I'd put that number around 20%. Second, some teams fear the backlash from fans after getting him. They think there might be protests or Trump will tweet about the team. Think about that.
Oh, my God.
There are GMs,
ridiculous.
That is
according
ridiculous.
To this GM, that feels that the president tweeting would stop a team from pursuing a quarterback, a football player. I'd say that number is around 10%. Then there's another 10% that has a mix of those feelings. Third, the rest genuinely hate him and can't stand what he did, kneeling for the national anthem. They want nothing to do with him. They won't move on. They think showing no interest is a form of punishment. I think this is getting out with Mark. You were saying, Mark. I think some teams also want to use Kaepernick as a cautionary tale to stop other players in the future from doing what he did. Yikes.
I want to see this play out a little bit. And you'll never go wrong expecting the worst out of billionaires generally. I mean, so on some level it makes sense, but everyone's saying blacklist. And I guess I wanted to see it shake out. Cause I think if he did nothing last year, off the field, there was no kneeling controversy and he was a free agent right now. Would any of us be that surprised? No.
I mean,
Jay Cutler's a free agent. Ryan Fitzpatrick's a free agent. Chase Daniel's a free agent. Robert Griffin III's a free agent. So if he doesn't get a job the entire offseason, then I would listen to that. And maybe all this is true, but he's damaged goods, even putting all that aside. So I kind of think, and I'm thinking the best of these teams, that he will get a job, and that just like Geno Smith just signed for $2 million, you know, for a very low price. I think eventually he'll find some fit like these other guys, like Fitzpatrick.
I refuse to think that it is only because of him, the football player. Aaron Murray has signed a deal. Kellen Moore just re-signed with the Cowboys.
But as
Ellen
Greg
Clemens.
Said, Jay Cutler
but,
has
but
not.
People at his
that,
level or above,
but,
very
I,
similar.
I think it has to. We would have to willingly close our eyes to say this has nothing to do with something beyond football. And again,
yeah,
not in every
that.
Case, but with large chunks of the league. Because if your GM goes and does that, who does the GM have to answer to?
Ownership.
The owner. I think this is an ownership issue in many more cases than it is a GM or a coaching staff issue.
And it could be that the owner isn't even publicly or even privately voicing these concerns. It could be just the GM saying, I know my owner wouldn't like this,
exactly.
So I'm not going to do it.
And reading the tea leaves.
Right.
Like, what's the benefit here? What's the opportunity
right.
cost? Basically what it is.
Right. As you said, it's a complex issue because I think if Kaepernick was 30% better – last year, then it wouldn't be an issue.
He'll get a job.
Oh, that's one last thing. By the way, if the idea of this guy kneeling, an international historical sign of fealty and respect during the national anthem,
right.
causes you to hate him, you really need to do some soul searching yourself. That's all I'll say about that.
Got to watch out for those Trump tweets, too. That'll get you in trouble. Mark, I'm looking at you, buddy.
Well, he might be tweeting at you soon about your investigative work on the Patriots quarterback
That's
he's
true.
Quite good friends with. You're getting closer and closer to the web.
You're insinuating that I'm in great danger.
I'm putting the energy out there to see what happens.
You're trying to get me and my family killed.
That's not
doing.
Really. That didn't come out exactly the way I'd say, but
I'm going to throw one out there, and it's kind of a tricky one because it's collateral benefit that can become collateral damage. Wow. Is that even possible?
That's part three of the series.
His name is Eli Manning, and the reason should be obvious why it benefit. Brandon Marshall was signed to a pretty healthy contract for a team that maybe wasn't hurting at the wide receiver position. They went out and spent money to bring another veteran, Brandon Marshall, who is people don't forget things quickly, but he had as good a season as any wide receiver in the entire league in 2015. The guy can still play, even if maybe he's lost a half step. He's a great addition and certainly an upgrade over Wes's boy, Victor Cruz. So you slot in Brandon Marshall with Odell Beckham and Sterling Shepard. Is that the best big three in football? It's probably in the conversation, maybe, in terms of wide receivers.
Absolutely in the conversation.
I'd say off the top of my head, that's the number one.
And then you have Eli Manning, who's coming off a woeful season. He's 36 years old, and this is where the damage comes in. It's almost like the Giants say, hey, Eli, put up or shut up now, because if he has another season like he had last season, 20 turnovers, you really get the vibe that Eli's starting job for the first time in 15 years would be in grave danger if he's not able to take this offense and put points on the board. And to that point, earlier this month, Ben McAdoo kind of put Eli on the spot a little bit, and he said Eli needs to do a better job of playing with fast feet, and I think he needs to sit on that back foot in the pocket. He kind of put some of their ills on him. So Eli's got to have a bounce-back season, or I don't know if he has a starting job.
The GM also said in January Eli's on the back nine of his career. You don't hear Belichick saying that about Tom Brady, who's 5 years older than him.
Well, they should draft a quarterback then, because they're not signing one. So, I mean, they signed Geno Smith, but I don't think that's a long-term answer. So that means they'll tell us what they think with their draft, because that sounds great, but I will believe that the Giants will move on from Eli Manning when I see it. I think they're going to stick with him a year or two too long.
Well, I think it's stressful. I'll never forget the Jimmy Johnson Miami Dolphins era where he attached himself to a late period Dan Marino after being with Troy Aikman's heyday. And you could kind of just feel that it was not going to – all these people were like, oh, he's just going to go into Miami and duplicate what happened with the Cowboys. And it showed how hard that is, but especially when your quarterback is declining. And now if you're Ben McAdoo – it's a stressful role to be at the back end of Eli Manning's career versus the every 3 years, 4 years he takes you to the Super Bowl and has an amazing playoff run.
I'll just add, I'm not ready to count him out. I think he could have a good year next year.
I think he could be fine.
We'll see about the arm strength. And, Wes, you brought that up many times. If that arm is shot, then it's going to probably come back to really haunt him and lead to the end of his career.
We have no idea. It could an in-season thing that's arm fatigue or something.
I'm just saying people have doubted Eli for long time. And he seems to have overcome doubts his whole career. So if he could extend his career another couple of years where he's a proficient starter, I would not be stunned.
The other thing is they don't need to draft a quarterback now. It's not a great class for that. If they're not in love with someone, they don't need to find his successor. And I think the Geno Smith signing for whatever it is, a patch, tells you exactly that. Well,
but couldn't you see it? Would you be shocked?
I wouldn't be shocked.
Like picked in the second round and blew the doors off everyone and be like, whoa, they just took a quarterback in the top three rounds.
That's what the Patriots did when the Patriots took Jimmy Garoppolo. It came higher than a lot of people thought the Patriots would pick a quarterback, but it was at a time where you'd think Tom Brady's going to be great, but you don't know. You have to keep taking these quarterbacks.
They took Mallett. They took Brissett now. It's like, I think quarterbacks, and the Patriots are showing this with Garoppolo, they're worth so much. You should just take a lottery ticket in the third round if you got someone you like.
All right, one more time around, and then we go, Greg.
I'm going to go to someone else that got damaged. How about Thomas Rawls? 161 yards in the playoffs. You know, at times he's looked like a top five running back, a guy who can carry the load. Now Eddie Lacy comes in, some similar skill sets there. I don't blame Pete Carroll at all for wanting more guys, but I think Rawls has had his chance, and he hasn't been able to stay on the field enough at the same time. I mean, this is a guy that they believed in enough coming off ankle surgery that they didn't really get much support for Thomas. They were expecting him to come back and kind of be the man. I think they expected too much. They don't want to get burned this time around. It's going to be tough for him to get all those carries again.
Most backfields ride the hot hand, and I'll be shocked if Thomas Rawls is not the one with the hot hand entering week one.
I mean, I think Pete Carroll is very concerned about the durability of that backfield. They had an incredible – part of it is the reason is your offensive line is a mess, and your running backs cannot stay healthy. I like the signing. We'll see. It's going to be a full-on competition. That's all Seattle does.
Wes.
I'll do another benefit.
Ooh, I like
twin
it.
Twin Jared Goff, Todd Gurley.
Wow.
Very faint benefit.
I like this. You haven't heard a single positive thing proffered on this site about the Rams, and here it comes.
They got the best tackle on the market, Andrew Whitworth. They put him at left tackle. They moved Greg Robinson, who has been an immense draft bust, off of left tackle, where he's been terrible. And you move him, he's going to compete at right tackle, but the best idea might be just move him into guard where he can blow people off the ball.
He was okay as a rookie. He played guard.
Yeah, maybe you can help the run game and the passing game. You're definitely going to help the passing game with Andrew Whitworth, who is still playing at a Pro Bowl level as of 2016 season. And then if you move Robinson to guard and leave Havenstein at right tackle, I think you've helped the offensive line immensely.
You also went from Kenny Britt to Robert Woods, wide receiver. Not too excited.
Yeah, but
you
went from Jeff Fisher's coaching staff
yeah.
to Sean McVay.
I think they would, and then they have a high draft pick, correct?
The Titans have their first round pick.
They sold the farm.
God. I was going to say they would be well set up to take one of these dynamic offensive talents in the first round, but they kind of banged themselves a little bit here. But let's stay positive. I like that, Wes.
We might get to see the first five games of his career version of Todd Gurley. Who knows?
That's fair. All right. Mark, why don't you finish it up?
Collateral benefit.
I'm
going to try very hard to spin this positively.
Do it.
Who benefits? How about football followers hoping for a mostly quiet March and very humdrum free agency period? If that's what you wanted, you benefited. That's what you got. Because
that's what you wanted.
I like drama as much as the next person, but I think that
no,
we talked
don't.
About this.
You don't like drama. You like things nice and calm.
Really?
Well,
you would like drama if it came in the form of Jimmy Garoppolo to the Browns.
Yeah, I mean, the rest of it, I think we talked about the cap space thing where teams don't have to make dramatic cuts where this guy that you thought, oh my gosh, there's no way he wouldn't be on this team next year. Well, they got to free up cap space. I just think that free agency, if they want to turn it into this three-day-long television gala where it's like the biggest thing on the planet, well, you got to back it up year to year at some point. There's got to be these tentpole moments. And this free agency period did not have that in my book. You can you can point to the Brock Osweiler trade, but it was more unusual than it was utterly, you know, game-changing. He's not going to even be on a team next year necessarily. And I think that this is not going to get better in 1 year. It's going to continue to trend this way. It's going to be truly about 8 or 9 hours of real drama tucked into what we're being told is 4 or 5 days of unbelievable television.
Well, this year has been weird, though, because of what Wes said before. The biggest names, I've been on the hook to write a potential Adrian Peterson column for 2 weeks running now, for both weekends. Like, okay, if Adrian Peterson signs, you're writing a column. Well, he's still out there. Someone's on the Tony Romo beat. If Tony Romo happens, if it's Saturday night, you got to write it. It's like, that hasn't happened either. Those are the big names. Jimmy G is still sitting out there. Cousins is, in theory, not sitting out there, but no one's totally closed like the door on that. All the big names this year, still waiting.
I got Mark on the LeGarrette Blunt beat for next weekend.
I'm fine with that. Well, what happens, Greg, if Adrian Peterson signs at 10 at night on a Saturday and you have like 6 glasses of wine in you?
Greg's got to write it.
Well, Greg's not going to have 6 glasses of wine in, first of all.
Is that how you get assigned to these things?
By the way, I thought it was a sneaky, a humble brag from Greg. It's like, oh, I'm on the beat for writing the story about the most legendary running back of the last 30
right.
years.
He and all right. Batista are the
if that's a brag, if that's a humble brag, I'll trade it. One of you guys can go on that humble
brag. I have no desire to be on that
exactly.
beat. So.
Exactly. But you're like, I struggled. I've written this column for a few years, and it was harder to come up with some good names. Like, I went with Tyrod Taylor as a guy who suffered some damage. And, like, what did he really lose? Like, Robert Woods and Marquise Goodwin. It's just he doesn't have any receivers. It was
also,
kind
he's
of
Tyrod Taylor.
You know, he's stuck
he's
in Buffalo.
He used to not having receivers.
Well, I know, but your number two receiver, at the time I wrote it, his number two receiver was Walt Powell.
So it's
that
just
seems
like the 2016
crazier.
Season.
That sounds like a guy that works in the maintenance department at the parks.
Right, and that's assuming Sammy Watkins even healthy. He might
Walt
be
Powell.
Hey, Powell.
He might be number one.
Hey, pal, you're on pitcher mound duty. Make sure it's rounded off nicely.
You'd make a very nice – you'd make an appropriate Parks and Rec manager yourself. That was a good order. That was succinct.
I could do that. It's good to have a backup plan. That's mine.
It's a deep backup
I'm
plan.
I'm in. I sign up for it. All right.
Wait, I had a question on Greg's duty here.
Oh, yeah.
So have you pre-written any of it? Have you been tempted to pre-write an article, like guessing on which team?
Couple nut graphs?
No nut graphs?
Wasting time on pre-writing things is Mark's game. I don't want to cut in.
I would have written like 2,000 words about the summing up his career and just put like two paragraphs on top about where he went.
That works, right? You could write right now the state of his career, why people didn't have interest in him, that kind of stuff.
Okay, I mean,
I got burned in the Super Bowl pre-writing. I don't want to go back.
So,
I've
but
got
just
a mental block.
In terms of unsolicited advice from your colleagues, bust a couple nut graphs. Just get them out.
Little pre-writing.
Yeah.
All right.
Bust a couple nut graphs.
I think you can't lose. Trust me.
All right.
Just like the background on his.
That's how it works.
The whole belt story and whatnot.
I might leave that out.
It was a switch.
That's right.
Just want to be factual as well. This is a big spotlight on you, this story. As it happens. Adrian Peterson to the Patriots. Away we go. We're flying to 19-0. And maybe that's why you don't want to pre-write it, because it becomes more about the Patriots being unstoppable once he's connected.
He's not going to the Patriots.
You're
going to
be home alone with your two children. Like, you're going to have to be handling them for hours and hours. All they're going to be going nuts, and Adrian Peterson's going to retire. And you're going to be screwed because you didn't pre-write a word of it.
Take our advice, Greg. All right. That's it.
We should call up Judy Batista and offer advice on her writing career, too.
Maybe. Former New York Times scribe, now writing for NFL Media, Judy Batista. Greg
She's
likes everyone to be know every name that's mentioned. Deep background for anyone that might not be aware.
You're referring to when I pointed out that the John Gonzalez's nickname was Gong. I had many people on Twitter thank me for considering that they might not be totally aware of one of our co-hosts' husbands.
Shadowy league figure nickname. Was in your corner on this one, too.
Ooh,
the white knight of the Around the NFL podcast, Greg Rosenthal. For all the uninformed listeners out there, I cater to the informed ones. I don't know.
Got all the bases covered then.
That's enough.
What has happened the last 2 minutes?
Who knows? All right. We'll be back on Wednesday. We hope to have a special guest joining us in studio. No, it's not Lil Debbie, but it is someone that we love and admire and has not been here in a while. So hopefully that will materialize. We'll see. If not, it'll be just the four of us and we'll have fun. That's what we do. Let's go.
You're in deep trouble, Sydney. I'm really mad.
This is Dan Hansen signing off for Quiet Storm, the mailman, the boss, and new money behind the glass. Till Wednesday. Everybody, yeah.